ராமாய நம பத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதயே நமஹ. சுந்தரகாண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 48, மாரதி இன் தி பாண்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் பிரம்மாஸ்திர. தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. நியூஸ் வாஸ் ப்ராட் டு ராவண ஆஃப் தி டெத் ஆஃப் ஹிஸ் சன் அக்ஷ அட் தி ஹேண்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் மாரதி. ஹி வாஸ் ஆல்மோஸ்ட் டிமென்டட் வித் கிரீஃப். ஹி ஷோட் இட் நாட் அண்ட் மஸ்டர்ட் அப் ஆல் ஹிஸ் கரேஜ். He turned to his eldest son, Indrajit, equal in valor to the lord of the Devas himself, and rolled out his orders in thundering wrath. My dear boy, you know best the mysteries of the weapon of Brahma. You stand above all in the knowledge of the secrets of the art of war. Devas and Asuras cry out in pitiable helplessness at the very mention of your name. The worlds still echo the fame you won when he drove before you like a flock of frightened sheep the Devas and Indra to lead them. You have found a way to the heart of the Lord Brahma, and he has initiated you in the science of weapons of every kind. I have seen that the Asuras and Deva hosts with Indra at their head cannot for a moment stand before your consuming fire of your missiles. The three worlds with their teeming population, Vishnu, Shiva, be it the highest of them, did not face you in battle, but paid very heavily for their temerity. I cannot place beside you anyone who, while defending himself with the might of his arms and the marvelous powers won by hard tapas, yet stands unrivaled in keenness of intellect and perfect knowledge of the fitness of time and place. There is nothing beyond the reach of your valor in battle. There is nothing that your subtle brain cannot compass in the range of the plans, the schemes, and the resources of war. The creatures high and low in the three worlds have felt but too well the power of your arms and of your weapons. Except myself, you have not met your peer in valor and the might born of tapas and marvelous weapons. So my heart is free from anxiety at the thought of certain victory when I send you forth to battle. My Kinkaras, Jambumali, the valiant sons of ministers, five generals and their armies, and last but not the least, your dear brother Aksha, met with destruction at the hands of a puny monkey. But the confidence and trust I have in you is something apart and entirely above that which I placed in them. A single-handed monkey with none to assist him has penetrated fearlessly into our Lanka, guarded so carefully. It has made short work of so many heroes and veterans in war. So take full note of this and of his keen intellect, of his boundless strength, might and valor. Take count also of your prowess and might. Put up speed and energy consonant to your strength. I know none that shares with you your knowledge of the secrets of weapons. I cannot lay my finger on anyone that opposed you in battle and lived to speak of it. Take heed of your might and the might of your foe, that your armies might not be destroyed when they approach the monkey. Begin the battle in such a way that you might come out through it best. O mightiest of warriors, think not to defeat your foe by massing up countless battalions against him. It is nothing to him to destroy them before the eye has time to wink. Seek not to kill him with the mighty Vajra, for it is nothing before his strength. I think that the Lord Vayu himself must only take a second place to him in speed. Of what avail is your Vajra against one who darts upon you from any quarter all of a sudden and kills you before you know of it? Do not try to knock him down dead with your fists when he draws near, for your fists are utterly powerless against the fire of universal dissolution. So take careful note of what I have been telling you and think out a sound plan of battle. You should accomplish your purpose, concentrate your energies upon the point before you, meditate as you go upon the spells that speed the divine weapons that you have mastered. Well, come back victorious at any cost. Once more, I tell you that it is possible to bind him powerless with the might of divine weapons and by no other means. You may ask me, is it not better if you yourself go upon this task instead of trying the strength and prowess of a boy like myself upon such a dreadful enemy? Now, it is not consonant with the rules of kingly polity that a monarch should himself go upon a guest until he has exhausted all the resources of his generals and armies at a command. And it ill beseems me who is their warmest exponent. Further, do I not know that I have to find one yet who rivals you in the use of weapons of every kind in battle? Again, it behooves us to gain victory and fame by meeting worthy foes in battle and laying them low. It is folly to let go such a golden opportunity, and it is why I am sending you forth. Now Indrajit, endowed with the valor and prowess of the very gods themselves, was no mean warrior. A hero of heroes, he drank with eager ears the words of Ravana, and all afire to meet his foe, he went round his father in profound reverence to take leave of him. His kith and kin and friends rent the air with shouts of joy and praise. And he went forth to battle single-minded and burning with enthusiasm, the firstborn of the Lord of Lanka, famed through the worlds, with eyes lovely as the petals of the lotus, of blinding luster, blazing with the spirit of undaunted courage, like unto the huge ocean towering towards the sky with its mountainous billows at the fortnightly conjunctions. He left the hall of audience with leonine roars of joy. Indrajit, like unto Indra whom he worsted, drove a car borne by four lions. They were fleet even as a Lord Garuda, perfectly matched with sharp white teeth. They drew lightly the car which held its course unimpeded above and below. Indrajit, the best and bravest of bowmen, matchless in his knowledge of weapons and magic missiles, drove on in a splendid car to where Hanuman awaited him. Marathi caught from afar the rolling of the dust and the twang of the bow, and his heart danced with joy at the thought of meeting a foeman worthy of his steel. Meanwhile, the son of Ravana, unequaled in all the secrets of war, approached Anjaneya, his huge bow appraised, and his sharp arrows fit with steel points, ready to shoot. And while he drew near, the Rakshasa hero, armed at all points and blazing with enthusiasm and energy, the earth and the quarters shook in affright. The beasts howled and screamed most dreadfully. The hosts of Nagas, Yakshas, Siddhas, Maharishis, planetary rulers, star regions stood ranged along the sky to behold that most wonderful fight. Birds of prey screamed with joy at the prospect of a sumptuous feast. Marathi cast a careful look on Indrajit that drew towards him in his car. He gave out a lion's roar and grew in stature. Indrajit bent his bow and strung it, shivering the quarters with thunderous twangs. Then Anjaneya and Indrajit set themselves in right earnest to their task, like the eternal enemies of each other, the gods and the asuras, for they were terrible of speed in movement and action, mighty beyond count, and perfectly clear-headed and confident in every phase of war. The son of Ravana was of immortal renown as the best of bowmen. He was a Maharatha, valiant and intensely eager for a chance of battle. Marathi brushed away his cruel arrows and coursed through the sky, increasing stature at every minute. Then that Rakshasa lord let loose at him crooked darts decked with gold bands and gay feathers. They were long, sharp as razors and fell upon the foes like the thunderbolts of Indra with deadly effect. The mingled roar of war drums, the rolling of the chariot wheels, the twang of the dreadful bows, and the confused noise of the armies fell upon the ears of Anjaneya. He rose yet higher and kept away from him the arrows shot by that best of bowmen, and made his way through them while gradually increasing his strength and spirit. When the Rakshasa discharged the arrows at him, the monkey lord stretched his hands and put them away and sprang aloft. They were of matchless speed, expert fighters, and all creatures stood in dumb amaze at the fight that they put forth. Indrajit could not fathom what his foe had at his heart, and Marathi was equally at sea about his foeman's innate purpose. Both were endowed with godlike might, and the battle between them was such as none could behold or live. Indrajit was of wondrous intelligence. Indrajit aimed straight and struck through and put his whole heart in his work. All my arrows go straight and unerring and find a place in the body of this foe, but I cannot make out how he manages to go through them unscathed. This is most wonderful. He bestowed long and careful thought over the matter. Well, arrows, shafts and darts are utterly out of place against him. It only remains for me to strike him unconscious and take him in bonds. Then Indrajit, who knew well the science and art of weapons, divine and infernal, said to himself, he is perfectly immune from weapons of any kind. It may be that the Astra, the magical weapon of Brahma, will render him powerless. So he discharged it at Marathi and bound him speechless. All at once, the monkey lord dropped to the earth, speechless, limp, and in dead faint. It took him some little time to recover and bring back to memory that he was in the bonds of the magical weapon of Brahma, that his speed and energy were constrained by it, and that he had a boon granted to him of yore by the Lord of Creation. I know of no other weapon that can bind me powerless unless it be the one that is dedicated to Brahma. For some time at least, I cannot free myself from it. This cunning Rakshasa knows the secret and hence has chosen this method to render me powerless. It is my bounden duty to submit to the law laid upon me by the great teacher of the worlds, the four-faced Brahma. Verily, this weapon is a boundless might. But I hold a boon from the Creator that no harm or inconvenience of any kind will result to me from this weapon of his, and that only for a period of a muhurta should I be subject to the influence of it. Hence the time of my release is at hand. Brahma, Indra, Vayu and the other great gods have thrown their shields over me, and I fear nothing though I be bound by this most powerful of weapons. Though these Rakshasas take me in bonds, it but serves my purpose, for I would have speech with Ravana, note most carefully his strength, valor, might and characteristic qualities. And the valiant hero lay motionless. Then the Rakshasas drew near and bound him hard with cords, ropes and barks of trees. Now Marathi was a far-seeing thinker. He decided within himself most thoroughly the plan of action he should take, and it was but a child's play for him to deal with enemies of every description. He feigned unconsciousness and great fear. Maybe that Ravana would like to have a look at me. That was why he never resisted the efforts of the Rakshasas to bind and worry him. But alas, the earthly bonds undid in a moment the magic influence of the weapon of Brahma, for it brooks not a rival of any kind in its work. Now Indrajit, most keen of insight, knew at once that Marathi was absolutely free the moment that he was bound with ropes, and cried in impotent grief and anger, alas, these fools are blissfully ignorant of the fact that Brahmastra is powerless if associated with any other of a lower kind. They have sadly undone my work. They have cruelly deprived me of my mightiest weapon. And most unfortunate of all, I am prevented from using any other weapon against the enemy once that I have shot at him with the Astra of Brahma. And it took me no end of hard thought and trouble to bring about this most wonderful result. And here I have only this bitter disappointment to reward my pains. Nor can I discharge the Brahmastra twice. This most cunning of my foes pretends that he is under the influence of the weapon, though absolutely beyond its power. I cannot fathom his purpose. Maybe he will spring up all at once and deal death around. And he sank into a fit of gloom and anxiety. But Hanuman showed not in the least that he was free from the power of Brahmastra, and bore most calmly the bonds of the Rakshasas and their cruel blows with clubs and fists. Then they dragged him along to the palace of Ravana, and Indrajit pointed him out to the king and his ministers and said, "Behold, the mighty monkey that destroyed our Ashoka grove has slew our generals and their armies." But he knew full well that though immune from Brahmastra, he yet pretended to be under its influence for some ulterior purpose of his. The Rakshasas informed the lord of the presence of the monkey, who lay there in bonds like an elephant in a faint. The people there gazed with awe and wonder at him and cried, "Who is he? Whom does he serve? Where does he come from? What is his purpose here? Are there any among us to befriend him?" Then a wave of anger passed over their hearts and they roared at him, "Kill him! Burn him at the stake! Cut him to pieces! Torture him most frightfully, this wicked wretch of a monkey that had put an eternal insult upon us by slaying our friends, our kith and kin." But Marathi heard it all unmoved and passed through the streets until he came to where Ravana sat in audience, his aged ministers ranged around his seat in the gem-encrusted hall. And the lord of Lanka cast his eyes most wonderingly for the first time upon the monkey warrior, blazing in his energy, dragged here and there by the hideous Rakshasas. Anjaneya, on his part, returned his look fearlessly, as if to challenge him to do his worst. Dashagriva was endowed with boundless strength and luster, and shone with the radiance of the Lord of Day on his throne in the mid-sky, in all the glory of his race. Then the Rakshasa Lord rolled his bloodshot eyes most fearfully in ever-growing wrath at Marathi, and turning to his ministers at his feet, grown gray with age and wisdom, issued a command, "Acquaint yourself with the details about this monkey." Accordingly, they said to Marathi, "Who are you? What is your object in coming here? What purpose did you set yourself to carry out here?" Then Anjaneya spoke back in reply, "I am but the humble emissary of my lord Sugriva, who sent me on here." Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.